Pastor Anna, she's an amazing woman of God. Let's give her a hand clap. I love the love that flows out of her and the Jesus that's in her. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to tell you that you are such a blessed people, and I feel such a powerful anointing in this house. And Houston Revival Center is headed for some real breakthrough. It's headed for some real breakthrough. There's days of breakthrough. Everything you've been praying for. Everything you've been praying for, everything you've been contending for, it's going to begin to flow in here like a flood. So just call it in Jesus' name. I see this building full, God doing amazing things in your midst, and we just have to stand because His timing is perfect. And I just see this church moving into a time of great revival, great revival. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. My name is Callie Hargraves. I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at 16 years old in a strict Pentecostal church. One of those churches where, you know, you don't wear any makeup, you've got really long hair, you wear dresses all the time, everything's a sin, but I got the Holy Ghost there. And I really got the Holy Ghost, you know, Holy Ghost and fire. And I thank God for that experience. But I'm 54. And thank you, Jesus, I'm 54. Every day we're alive is a good day. But my sister and I, Pastor Cindy, who is Pastor Todd and Cindy are the senior pastors, and I'm the executive pastor of a church in Baytown called Celebration of Life Church. And I met Miss Anna through Sozo. I came here for Sozo. And Anna, I'm sorry. I want to say it right. I met Miss Anna through Sozo, and she blessed my life in such a powerful way. And so, but we started this church in 2002, and God has just done some amazing things. But we've always had a prophetic edge to our church. Pastor Cindy's prophetic. There's a lot of, it's a prophetic church. And when Raylynn was 8 years old, one of the prophetic oversights came and prophesied that she would be a famous country and western singer. Yes, yes, he prophesied that she would be a famous country and western singer. I thought he missed it because everybody else sang and Rachel played the drums. And she came back to me in the pew and said, I don't like that prophecy. Tell him I want another one. I said, it doesn't work that way, but if it's not God, it won't come to pass. If it is God, at some point God will change your heart. 1 year later, one day I came in from work. We were pioneering the church. So at that time I was working in the corporate world and pastoring. And I came in from work and my daughter said, I heard this girl by the name of Miranda Lambert, and she's come out with a song and I like her country music. And she goes, Mom, will you buy me that album? And I said, yes, I'll buy you that album. Because by that point I was delivered and free. I didn't think everybody that sang it, you know, for years we thought if you just didn't sing Christian music, you were on a one-way ticket to hell. Hallelujah. So I bought her that album and never really anticipating that at some point God would hook it up and Miranda would be her mentor for country music. And so all I'm saying is the prophetic word is true and His timing is perfect. And many times you'll get a confirming word prophetically. You'll get a word that you've already gotten and God's just reestablishing that in your heart. But many times you'll get a new word. And that day, that was a new word for her. And she was the child I least, like she was, didn't sing. All the other girls are powerful singers. Rachel's just got a really country voice and I just never pictured her. I always pictured her in entertainment, but I never pictured her as a country singer. So my point is, I did after that point because I began to stand with God's word. And when God began to bring it around, I didn't have fear that I would lose her to the world because I had a prophetic word to stand on. So I just want to encourage you, the prophetic is powerful. And many times God gives us prophetic words so that we can stand in times of trouble knowing that He is going to bring something to pass. I have a pastor friend of mine who had a prophetic word about what she was going to do in the ministry. And they had been in ministry for a long time, but God said she was going to open up a thrift shop and going to start feeding the poor. And that he just started giving her all these words. Then she got deathly sick and was told she was going to die. Well, she got that prophetic word and said, God, you have not, this has not happened in my life yet. So I believe this is a bump in the road, and I'm standing on your word because I don't have the thrift shop. I am not feeding the poor, and we've just started this, and and God healed her because she warred with that prophetic word. So the prophetic is powerful, and I honor the Lord. I honor you, Anna. I honor Pastor LaRue and you and what you're doing here, and I just declare the blessing of the Lord in this house. The favor of the Lord in this house, the favor of the Lord over your children. I want to talk to you, or preach to you, teach you a little bit about one of my favorite characters in the Bible, and that is Hannah. She's one of my favorite characters. I'm going to put this right here for right now. And I love the Bible. It's full of drama. And, you know, our lives are full of drama. We have our personal drama. We have our family drama. We have our church drama. We have our work drama. We have drama. But you know what I love about Jesus? He gets right in the middle of our drama, and he knows how to fix it. He knows how to turn it for our good. And this is a book with a whole lot of drama in it. So I want us to turn. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I pray, God, that as I teach this, preach this today, Father, before I prophesy, that you would just anoint my words and let every word that comes out of my mouth be you. And Lord, I just pray that it touches your people. I like things close. I'd like for y'all to move up as close to me as you can. If you could just move in as close, all the way close to me, okay? I like everybody being close. I'm going to read, and then I'll stop and preach, and then I'll read and stop and preach some more. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel, and I'm going to read a whole bunch of this, so get your Bibles out or on your phones or wherever you have it. Hallelujah. I'm reading from the King James Version, which is my favorite version. Hallelujah. We're 1 Samuel, and we're going to start right at the beginning, number one. Now let's talk about where Israel's at. Before I get started, Israel has a priest by the name of Eli. And you're going to find out as I read this chapter that Israel's in trouble because Eli has not corrected his children. His children have been allowed to run amok in the temple and desecrate the house of God to the point that as I read through, you're going to realize that the Lord says there's a curse coming on your family. Every man's going to die early, and there's things that God gets so angry because the man of God did not take care of the house of the Lord and take care of his children that he sent some real powerful prophetic words that were not really nice ones. Okay. So what's happening is we're in a spiritual plight in Israel. We're in a spiritual plight. So I want you to write that down. We're in a spiritual plight. That's where this text starts. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zohim, out of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeropham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephrahite. I don't know why it gives all that detail, but they say, if God says it's important, it's important. Now, here's where it goes. And he had two wives. One of them was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. So we've got a kingdom crisis because the man of God's not right. And now we're talking about a personal crisis. For a woman to not have bear children was a curse, and your ability to bear children was really your fruitfulness. Now, it still is, but we don't look at it so much that way now in today's society. But in that society, you have to understand it was an agricultural society. So if a woman had a lot of kids, they had a lot of help in raising the farms and the crops and the, doing what they needed to do. And so there was a high price put on a woman that could birth a lot of children, especially a man child. So he had two wives. One of them was Hannah. The other one was Peninnah. Peninnah had children. Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city early to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord's, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So he gave her more portions than he did his other wife because he loved her so much. And she was suffering with the plight of being barren. So his heart was turned toward her. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. So now we've got this other wife that is making her feel less than, provoking her, bringing up her lack of ability to produce to the point it's causing her fret, sorrow. She's crying. And as he did so swear by the year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she was provoked. So she provoked her. Therefore, she went up. She went and did not eat. So she's headed up to the house of the Lord. Hannah is. She's not eating. She's fasting. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? In other words, I love you so much, I give you everything, I give you way more than I give Peninnah. Yes, I know she has kids, but my love for you outweighs what she can bear me. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drank, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So now she's in the temple and she is interceding before God, asking him to open up her womb. And she vowed a vow, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden, please look on my personal drama. I want a baby. I want this curse lifted. And I want Peninnah to shut up. And not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man child. I don't want just any kid. I want a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And therefore shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. He slapped her. Boom. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. So I want you to take notice that the man of God is not very keyed in or in tune. He's not corrected his own children. Now he's slapping some woman that's interceding because he thinks she's drunk. You're talking about bad discernment. We got it on crack here. Real bad discernment. And Eli said, how long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. She was humble. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition and that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She knew God had heard her prayer. And they rose up in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Her personal trial, her personal assault, she went to the temple and began to seek God for God to open up her womb, to remove the curse, to bring breakthrough in her life. Not realizing that she was not only asking for God to bring breakthrough in her personal life, but the breakthrough that God would bring for her would bring breakthrough for a whole nation. You see, your personal breakthrough is tied to the kingdom. And many times the enemy will strike us in an area so hard, and our ability to walk in faith and trust him and allow his anointing and power flow in our life not only opens up breakthrough and healing for us, but it's always tied to the kingdom, and it's tied to us bringing breakthrough for others because of the faith and the power that we've walked in. She brought a son into her life by the power of the Holy Ghost, by her trusting. God moved. God healed her. God heard her cry. And now, no longer is she dealing with personal drama, but more importantly, the kingdom was in a terrible plight. They had a priest that couldn't hear the voice of the Lord. They had a priest that had two sons that were desecrating the house of the Lord. So when she brought that man-child back, even Eli didn't understand at first. He thought he was just getting him an assistant. He was just getting him an intern. But God was bringing a prophet in that would honor him. And he was turning a nation from a place of drought spiritually to a place where milk and honey and the power of God would flow once again. He not only healed a woman's personal plight, but he healed a nation's plight because she was willing to do what God asked her to do. Hallelujah. I love the word of the Lord. In chapter 2, we find that she gives just praise and glory to the Father because he has healed her problem. She doesn't even realize at this point how much God is using her and her little boy to turn a nation. We find that as the child grows and when she weans the child, she takes the child back and she does exactly what she committed to the Lord. In chapter 2, let's go to verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom, and it goes on to tell what the priest's customs were on how to handle the offerings. And they would not handle the offerings the way God told them to. They were having sex with women in the temple, they were just taking the sacrifices. They were totally desecrating. And here's what the Lord said. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. All the while God had a man he was raising up. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it for him year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee the seed of this woman for a loan, which is lent to the Lord. And they went in unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 more sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So her obedience by bringing that child back, because you know that was not easy. That's her only kid. She brings that child back. She obeys the Lord. And now God opens up her womb and she has 5 more kids. Isn't that amazing? And Eli was very old and he heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with women and assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you do such things? And the Bible goes on to talk about how he tried to admonish his sons, and they would not. And then God began to speak to Samuel. And he began to talk to him. Well, Samuel thought Eli was calling for him. He was just a young boy, young teenage boy. And so he went to Eli and he said, you know, did you call me? And Eli said, no, I didn't call you. And then he goes back to bed and he hears you know, the Lord called him again. He goes back to Eli, did you call me? Finally, the third time, Eli said, this is God trying to talk to you, just to ask the Lord what he wants to tell you. And, of course, God began to speak to Samuel and tell him what was getting ready to happen to the house of Eli and that God was raising him up. And he told him the truth. Now, there's some principles that I want you to get out of this story, because when we're dealing with issues in our life and drama in our life, many times we're tempted to isolate. We're tempted to hide. We're tempted not to deal with it and not to do it God's way. The first thing she did is she went to the temple. No matter what the enemy's doing to you, you always go to the house of the Lord. She went to the temple. She was broken. She was upset. She was aggravated, but she did not separate herself from the house of the Lord. She went to the temple and honored him with her worship because she knew that her only hope for redemption was at the temple. Number two, she prayed and she fasted. Prayer and fasting will always help us to remove false ideologies. It's not, we don't pray and fast to move the hand of God. We pray and fast so that we can hear the voice of God clearly. He always wants to help us. So she went to the temple. She prayed and she fasted. She received the word of the Lord through God's man who was Eli by faith. She did not allow the weaknesses of Eli to keep her from receiving from what God had to say through him. She laid that aside. And by the way, all ministry is flawed. Now, there's a difference between flawed and backslid, but all ministry is flawed. And so we must learn to hear the voice of the Lord and lay aside people's weaknesses. So she received by faith what Eli had to say. She obeyed her commitment that she made at the altar in her time of desperation. That was a big one. She made a commitment to bring this boy back to the temple and leave him there all the days of her life. And as far as she knew, that could have been the only child she ever had. She had no guarantee she'd have more kids. But she kept her commitment that she made in her time of desperation when God answered her prayer. And we know that God opened her womb as a result of that. God opened her womb. He solved her personal problem, and he solved the nation of Israel's national problem. Many times we feel alone. We feel like that our problems are not big problems. They're just our problems. And there's no, you know, we're just nobody. We're just, you know, but no, that's not true. You have children, you have grandchildren, you have friends, you have neighbors that are watching you to see if the power of God is what you trust in when trouble comes. There are people all around you that are going to glean breakthrough in their lives by our ability to stand in the house of the Lord when things are not always good, when things are not always right in our lives. But my ability to stay plugged into him and his purpose, my ability to trust him when all hell breaks out in my life, my ability to know that my womb might be shut up now, but God is getting ready to open my womb because I trust him, I'm in the house of the Lord, and I am believing him for redemption and breakthrough. Your personal plight that God is healing and saving and delivering is directly tied to your kingdom assignment. It's directly tied to your kingdom assignment. Where the enemy has sucker punched you the very most and caused you to feel the most inadequate is exactly where God is going to heal, deliver, set you free, and cause you to be a handmaiden of the Lord to set others free. Because he wants to get the glory. If it's something we're good at already, he doesn't get the glory. But if it's something that we had to totally depend on him for, then he gets the glory when redemption takes place in our life. I want you to raise your hands, and I'm going to prophesy over you corporately. Now, that second song that y'all played in worship, I don't know what that second song was. If you could just put that on quietly, behind me, just quietly. I love music. I want you to raise your hands. I want to prophesy corporately. Lord, I just prophesy in the name of Jesus that in your handmaiden's greatest areas of weakness, they are receiving healing, deliverance, and the power to see your way. I prophesy breakthrough. I prophesy strength. I prophesy wisdom to make correct decisions. I prophesy healing. I prophesy relationships that are strong. I prophesy relationships that need to be taken out will be removed from them. I prophesy eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to obey. I declare in Jesus' name that these women at Houston Revival Center will be women carriers of glory, carriers of the anointing, and they will not only birth what you're going to do in their personal lives, but they'll be a part of the birthing of the revival in this church. I prophesy in Jesus' name. I declare it. I declare healing over each one. If you'll just bring it down just a little bit, I want y'all to all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.